literally what he did. He enjoyed going to people's homes. So I just wanted you to note that. It's amazing. The last thing that Jesus did just before he ascended, and John's gospel adds one more, is after his death and resurrection, was because of the sharing of a meal. He said, I don't know if this is really Jesus, this ghost type of person. I don't know, are you really Jesus? And Jesus said, let me prove it to you. Let's have a meal together. At the Sea of Galilee again, when John and when Peter and the guys said, I don't know what to do with this, Jesus is gone, let's go fishing. Jesus goes to the beach and says, Kom ons braai visie. Those famous words of Jesus that I quote very often, let's have breakfast. John 21:12. Jesus said, let's have breakfast, let's have a meal. It's literally the heart of Jesus. Jesus always shared meals. He had life. He didn't have his own life. And the sharing of a meal does something. It invites you into people's lives and hearts. It's amazing when what just sharing a meal means, like, especially if it's people that don't know one another. The sharing of the fact that we stand next to a braai place, or the fact that we stand next to or sit across from one another at a table, there's such a means of identification. Like, you are human, I'm human. You need food, I need food. We share this meal. Maybe it's just different from you. And remember what Jesus said, his command. How are you supposed to reach people to preach the kingdom? He says, go to someone's house and sit down and eat with them. Whatever they give you, eat it. Might be intimidating, but receive them. Why? By means of a meal. The kingdom, and then he says, say to that house, the kingdom of God has come to you. Why? Because I'm eating a meal with you, and then Jesus is here to heal the sick. Amazing. The sharing of meal. The kingdom is extended. It means I dignify, you are dignified, I value you, I'm interested in you, I pay attention to you. You are important to me. That's what sharing a meal means, and it means a little bit more, and we'll get to that a little bit later. It's not just that Jesus went around eating the whole time. If we look at Luke's gospel and the parables of Jesus, his teachings was great. Many of them were all about food, all about meals. I mean, just the list. There's just a few of them. The next slide. Thanks so much. The parable of Good Samaritan is all about hospitality, but that's a different aspect of hospitality we'll get to later. Parable of a friend with a guest. He says, listen, if someone comes to my home at night and he kicks down the door and says, come, come, come. Someone has come from a far country and he arrived very late because, you know, there was train problems or taxi problems or his flight just came late. I must put a feast for him. I don't have food. I'm going to kick down your door. Give me food. And the teaching of humility and honor at the feast. Parable of the wedding feast. Parable of the lost coin, lost sheep. Lost son, I always smile at those. Now, let me not digress, but it's all about a feast afterwards. You spend all your money that you just found to host a feast. You just slaughter your sheep that you found again to host a feast. Anyway, your son is invited to the feast. And the parable of the rich young man and Lazarus is all about feasting. When Luke thought about the life of Jesus, and this is a summary, the one thing that he couldn't ignore was the fact that Jesus went from house to house and had meals with people. Jesus literally became flesh, John's words, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory over a meal, sharing of meals together. So, not surprising, in recording, Luke recording the book of Acts, next slide there, please. In recording the book of Acts, when they said, what did the early church do? Well, they prayed, they listened to the apostles' teaching, and they went from house to house, and they broke bread. There were two feasts that the historians, Julian in the first century, and another one, I forgot his name, the early historians recorded about the life of Jesus, two things, the disciples of Jesus, two types of meals. The first one was just a communion meal that we do, we break bread, and please, we sort of kill it. At some point, maybe this week in your small group, when you have communion, don't do a wafer and a sip. Because it wasn't what the communion meal. We lose a great part of what the communion meal was about. Nachmal, the Lord's Supper. It's the actually sat down and had a meal and spoke about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's not like I'm having a wafer. We kill it. If we and when we do it like this, we obviously have to, but it was supposed to be a meal. It was supposed to be a a literally breaking of bread and eating and dipping it in the olive oil and balsamic vinegar with some herbs and stuff. It was a meal. They eat together. And it was a simple peasant meal. The point was, it's an inexpensive meal. That's what everyone used to eat. Everyone can afford this. So Jesus say, how will you remember me? You remember me what I always did. What did I do? I shared life with you. We ate together. God came into your house. That's the point. So when we have Nachmal, that's sort of what's supposed to happen there. It's like a breaking of. So they had communion, but the other thing that they had, the early church, was when they spoke about one or two of the emperors complained about this because they upset the whole kingdom by doing what? Well, they have love feasts. What does that mean? We don't exactly know what they do, but they invite everyone to share meals with them. They eat together the whole time, and that is dismantling the whole Roman Empire. Why? Because people from different classes, economic status, people from different races, people from different genders sit around one table and eat together, and that upsets the whole kingdom. The whole empire is thrown about. Why? Because all of a sudden everyone is worth the same. How do you know that? Because they sit at one table and share a meal. They share in the love of Christ. It's the cross again right there. At the foot of the cross, everyone is. Jesus accepts everyone. He pours his spirit in everyone. What does that mean? We all eat together. That's what it means. So the eating together means you are all accepted. It's a celebration of being accepted into the kingdom of God. And what do they do around the table? They encourage one another and they love one another. They edify one another. It's beautiful. So it upset the whole kingdom. That's what they did. So when Luke records, he says, well, what did the early church do? There were the Crusades, but mostly they ate and prayed. That's what they do. They come together and they share, and around the table, they encourage one another. So, early church, let me just show you one story, and I'll get to this a little bit later. So in Luke's account, when Luke speaks about, for those of you who haven't noticed, the book of Acts has sort of two parts. First part is, and it's all about, it's a very good, well-structured book. But the first part focuses on Peter and the apostles, but it highlights Peter's life and how Peter preached, and John and Peter went to prison. There's a resurrections. There's all stuff that's happening. Lots of power, lots of preachings, until one of the deacons goes and he sends people into Samaria. Philip goes into Samaria to preach, and so it's the expansion, but up until that point, it's only, they understood themselves as Judaism. The Jews must come to find their Messiah. It's amazing. And then Paul gets saved at some point, chapter 9. And then, but before Paul gets on the scene, we find Peter going to Simon the Tanner's house. And he's on the roof of this tanner. It must have smelled really bad. Anyway, so he's on the roof of this leather tanner's house. And the Bible says he was hungry. And while Simon the Tanner was preparing a meal for him, so see in that chapter, hospitality, I receive you into my home. You're welcome. I'm preparing a meal because you're tired. And he goes to the roof and he prays. And he sort of dozes off in a vision. And what is he dream? God shows him food coming, a cloth coming from heaven, a groot laken, opening up, and there are all kinds of split hoof animals, like animals that the Jews aren't supposed to eat, probably a crocodile or two, weird things. And he goes like, and the Lord says, Jesus says to him, eat this. And he says, nya, this is a test. No, I'm really hungry, but I'm not going to eat this. And the Lord says, eat it. Three times it happens. And then Jesus says to him, listen, Simon, if I declare something to be clean, it's clean. You don't deny it. And then he says, yes, Lord. And then the angel says to him, someone's at the door. So he goes down. He doesn't know. Like we know by this time, Cornelius sent messengers. Cornelius, a Gentile person, non-Jew, sent messages to him, came to him at the door. And then the Lord said to him, someone's at the door. Go and open up. And he opens up the gate and he finds these messengers, number of messengers coming, saying, please come with us, Cornelius. Is asking for you, this great statesman is asking for you, come to his house, please. And then Peter does what he understood the Lord said to do. Receive this people into your house. So first, before he goes, he gets him to his house, Gentile people, and they share a meal. The meal that Simon had. So all of a sudden, he's eating with non-Jewish people, which is not supposed to be. So he's eating with them, gives them a house, and then he goes with them. And Cornelius does what? He receives Simon, Peter, and his disciples into the house with them, and they share a meal. And as they share a meal, they say, okay, now tell us about this Messiah. As they're sharing a meal, all of a sudden, he's sharing about Christ and the resurrection, and the Holy Spirit descends on them right there. And then he understood what the Lord was trying to say. He's like, receive everyone into my kingdom, but the vehicle in which it all happened was three acts of hospitality. If you study the chapter, it's beautiful to see that. The point is that the church not only extends because people go from house to house and eat, but the church expands because we receive people that are different from us into our homes, or we go into their homes, because God accepts everyone. The fact that I'm having a meal with you opens up the fact that when you receive me, you receive Christ in me, and Christ has come to your home. Just like the word that you had earlier, if you receive, there's chaos in the house. If you receive someone into your house in whom Christ is, Christ brings peace into the home. You get it then. So let me just get this tagline, and then I'll unpack it for you biblically. When we eat together more, we are enlarged. Now, this is supposed to be a little bit funny. It's a little bit funny. There's funny inside. Anyway, when we eat together, we are enlarged. Just get that. I just wanted you to remember that. Lekker. When we eat together, we are enlarged. We edify one another. Because we edify one another, because we are strengthened, just like food physically strengthens you. So when we eat together biblically, just like the early church did, the fact that I receive people for a meal, and it can be a sandwich over lunchtime, but when we eat together, we share Christ and we encourage. Vanette just said that she went for 5 days to a friend of hers up in Kroonstad. Used to be a missionary here, and they just spent 5 days living and eating together and encouraging one another in Christ. When we share a meal together, the fact that we come together and we recognize that Christ is with us whenever we gather, we encourage one another and we are strengthened. There's education happening, there's encouragement happening. I want to encourage you guys, as often as it's possible, when you have a small group meeting, have something to chow. A sandwich, anything. Just the fact that we eat together and share together is really important. I didn't mention it earlier, but maybe I can just say it now. In the previous example, if in our day and age, the way we think about the gospel and God, if Simon was a present day guy, he would have sent a WhatsApp or an email or an online reference to the gospel of Jesus to Cornelius, thinking it would do the same, that the Gentiles would come. But I will tell you that probably the Holy Spirit wouldn't have fallen on them when they read an email, because Simon wasn't present, and his disciples weren't present. We encourage one another in Christ by my physical presence. The fact that I enter someone's home, enter someone's hospital, sits with them, and the fact that you are there. Christ in you is present. And the Holy Spirit seems to move when you are present in a space, not when an email is read, not when a scripture is sent via WhatsApp, not when a cute video is sent. It's very encouraging. But the difference is the presence of Peter. The fact that I'm present in your home. If someone's going through a rough time in your small group, your physical presence in the home brings the peace. When you enter in and share a meal, Christ is present, because wherever you go, Jesus goes. Christ is present in you. And that's the point of encouraging one another by being present. The second one, when we eat together, we extend our influence. We are enlarged. We stretch out our tent pegs. We extend our influence. When we are present with someone, we extend. And extending literally means, that's the scripture that I referred to earlier. Jesus said, this is how we extend the kingdom. You go from town to town in all Samaria. You go to town And what you do is you don't just preach at the marketplaces. You find someone, find a man of peace and go into his home. And you build a relationship with him. You stay with him. You rely on his hospitality. It's amazing, eh? It's like, and if he doesn't invite you, just do the Zacchaeus thing. It's like, hey, I'm coming to your house. Okay. And if he doesn't receive you, if he doesn't open up for you, if he doesn't receive your peace, it's fine. Just move on. But find someone, go into his house and share a meal with him. And this text context refers to people that had a knowledge of God in a sense. So that's why the extending. They had a knowledge of God, but you go into the home and you share Christ with him. And you share, and you share, you preach the kingdom. You announce that God is here to reign over whatever chaos is happening in your home. But the fact that you're present means the kingdom of God comes to him. And you honor him. You extend your peace to him. Acceptance, trust, interest, favor, dignity, identity. And then the third one is the expansion part. Let me tell a story to you. Now, this is a story, obviously, of Levi, of Jesus eating with sinners, people different from us. When we were in Pretoria, Shofar Pretoria, we planted the church there many years ago. I remember that we were in Sunnyside in Pretoria. So it's a lekker plek, no? So we found a cute little theater there, the Moonbox Theater. It's a quaint little theater, sits 60 people maximum. And very, very strange, bit of a dark place physically. I mean, physically, if you go inside, it was a little bit dark. There wasn't much light happening in there. And we went in there, and it was in Sunnyside, and it was known for a lot of Nigerians coming in and a lot of Congolese people coming in, and there was a lot of syndicates from every bad type in the area. So, but that's the space that we found, and we felt Jesus said, okay, it's the center of Pretoria, go there. So ironically, we would drive from all over Pretoria to literally have church there. First of us, there were 7 of us, and later there were 14 and then 20. And we did outreaches because Jesus called us there. And we just, you know, sorry for being blunt now, but also it's by black. We were really, really, there weren't any black people with us. There weren't any colored people with us. It was just us, Afrikaans, one or two English people, but they had identity issues, so they were Afrikaans as well. And we were inside the theater. And then we did outreaches, and we had the services in English because we recognized that no one in the inner city speaks Afrikaans. So we had services in English. And we did outreaches, like lots of outreaches. We did all the types of outreaches you can. We had a stage, we did dancing, we did boerewors roller, we did pancakes, we did everything. We went from, and we connected to so many people. And so many people heard us and actually heard the gospel and actually got saved. Some of them visited the church. No one felt comfortable with us, in retrospect. They didn't stay, and we couldn't understand this. We prayed, said, God, you're supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations, but it's a bit bleak in here. It's not all nations. And then, in retrospect, years afterwards, I just figured it out and it was so simple. The Lord just said to me, the reason where there were no black people in your church then is because there were no black people sharing a meal at your table. And I'm like, duh. You receive someone in your home over a meal, you receive someone in your fellowship. Someone feels at home not because you greet them in church, but because you take them home and say, come into my house, share a meal. And it doesn't need to be in your house if you're intimidated or if the person's a great, you know, doesn't feel comfortable. Then start at McDonald's, work your way up to Starbucks, and then go to your home. You know, it's like find the journey through the coffee factory. But the point is sharing a meal together speaks about dignity and acceptance and love. That is, if I accept you, I'm keen to accept Christ. Because you love me. The kingdom of God comes not because I simply give you a message, but the kingdom of God comes because in my home, we share life. And then I can share Christ. Because otherwise, it's just a philosophy that I'm sharing with you and not the life. Listen, I got this in the week, with whom, how you eat and with whom you eat speaks about your convictions, it speaks about your faith, your values and your convictions. How you eat, every religion in the world has its dietary prescriptions, what you ought to eat, what even Christianity, huh? Don't eat blood, don't eat stuff with blood, you know, don't eat stuff offered to other gods. We have dietary, but it's nearly nothing. Don't eat something rotten or defiled, stuff like that. We have our dietary things, which we got from Judaism, but this is the point. With whom you eat and how you eat is a witness to your convictions and your values. It's your faith. It speaks about your faith. So, summary. It's a bit blunt, huh? It's a bit kifanach. Anyway, when a stranger receives you, he receives Christ. And when you host a stranger, you host Christ. Remember the Luke's account? One of the last meals in Luke's account is the Emmaus goers, those who were on their route to Emmaus, the travelers, the disciples. So it was crucifixion. Then the resurrection day happened, and they heard that Jesus resurrected. And these two disciples of Jesus were confused. They weren't named, but they were confused. So they decided, this is weird. Everyone's hunting down Jesus and his disciples in Jerusalem. I just gave up 3.5 years of my life to follow this Messiah, and now he died. You know, that's unhelpful. I thought we're going to be the ruling party and take Jerusalem by force. Completely confused, completely dismayed. They flee Jerusalem, walk the journey to Emmaus, and as they were discussing, all of a sudden there's this stranger on the road with them, and they're having this discussion with the stranger, and they talk with the stranger. And the stranger says, so what's happening? Where are you going? Why are you going? And because they receive the stranger, eventually the stranger wants to walk on, but they say, no, this is really dangerous. Don't walk on. Let's do Jewish hospitality. I must love the stranger. Receive him into their hotel that they're staying in at the night, guest house. And as they share a meal, all of a sudden they realize that they are not entertaining a stranger, actually. They're entertaining Christ himself. And Luke puts it in his account because that is sort of what he's trying to say to those reading his gospel. That Jesus went from house to house meeting with strangers. And they were introduced to God. They were accepted into the kingdom of God. The kingdom, the reign of God, the peace of God, the righteousness of God comes to a house when you receive Christ. Jesus saying, listen, if you invite a stranger in my name, share a meal, share a cup, I'm going to tell you that I'll be present. You are receiving me. Where two or more are gathered in my name, if you meet for the purpose of me, if you meet in my name, I'm present. And then the kingdom of God comes right there. And this is what he said to his disciples. I want to encourage us, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about living a missional lifestyle. And the point is not philosophy or trying to persuade someone. It really starts with showing hospitality, showing a love for the stranger. Why do we love strangers? Because he's made in the image of Jesus. I don't care who you are. You might be a tax collector. You might be a sinner. You might be a gangster. I don't care who you are. Looking at you, I see the image of Jesus. You're welcome. I'm going to come to your house with the confidence that when I come to a house, or when you come to my house, the point is when we share a meal, Jesus is going to be present. Why? Because I'm present. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. And it's not just for me to keep me safe. What he means is if I move in his name, he moves and he's ready to save or to heal, to deliver, or to bring the peace of the word that we just had earlier today. If we receive someone, we receive Christ. If we go into someone's home, Jesus is going to be present and his kingdom is going to come. So this is the challenge for the next few weeks. I want to challenge you. We're going to do the bells challenge. Some of you are really worried about that immediately. But you can, it's small group, you'll read about it. If you're not in a small group, we'll just send you the document. If you come from another church and you're just interested in this, just contact the office. We'll send you the document. But this is what we want you to do. For the next 3 weeks, or for the next 6 weeks, just do it at least for 6 weeks. Afterwards, if it doesn't catch on, then don't do it. Try something else. But share a meal with 3 people. So it doesn't mean necessarily share 3 meals. It just means, like the early church, have a meal with another Christian, one Christian and one non-Christian. And the other one, you know, I don't really mind. It can be either Christian or non-Christian, but at least three people. It can be one meal. If you're smart enough, on a Friday night, invite one Christian and one pagan to your house and braai, you know. I don't really mind how you do it. The point is to grow in the practice of eating with someone. If it's just, if you don't have time and all you can do is, there's this one guy in the office and you can actually sort of have a conversation, then take your sandwich and split it in two. Break the bread, literally, and say, you know, let's sit in the sun for 5 minutes or in the hospital. Let's just sit in theater. No one's here. Let's just eat something quickly. Better than theater. But the point is to share a meal with someone with one purpose, to love. Show kindness. Love means just to show, I want to give goodness to you, whatever that means. A word of encouragement or just ear time or it doesn't matter. I'm just going to eat a meal with you. And know that Jesus is present when you're there. I'm not asking you to memorize the Romans way, John's way, anything else. Simply share a meal with someone in the name of Jesus, as Jesus' witness, as an ambassador. And know when you put your foot there, you're representing the fullness of the love of God right there. And sometimes the fullness of the power of God right there. Because wherever you go, Jesus goes. Share a meal. It was a practice of the early church, was a practice of Jesus. And that's what we want to cultivate again. Let's have a meal. Can I pray with us today? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this very simple teaching from your scripture, God. That Jesus, you were called a wine bibber and a glutton, Lord. Someone who just loved eating with the whosoevers. And God, I pray in Jesus' name, will you make us like you, God? Will you give us a love for hospitality, God? Will you give us a love to share meals with strangers, God? And some of us are really, really intimidated, God. Some of us are really shy people, God. So I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us to not change necessarily, God, to not become not shy people, God, but to find people that we can relate to in Jesus' name. Will you bless us, God, with the gift of hospitality for your name's sake, that your kingdom may come into homes in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we stand up, I want to make two invitations. The first one, don't you just want to sit with someone who looks relatively friendly and just say, this is what I heard the Lord said to me through the text, or what did you hear? Just that one thing. And secondly, there were three or four words about a need for peace, a need, a reassurance of Jesus bringing peace to a storm. If that was for you, don't you want to come forward now? Then the elders may just pray with you, please. If that's you with a need for peace. But for the rest, let's just discuss what did we hear the Lord say to me and what will I do this week because of that. Amen.